that. They're telling me we're not on the line, but we are now. They're telling me we were not on the line, and they were right. All these things I had to do, I had missed something, and so there we are. Thank you. I hope it's fine now. I hope it's fine now. Forgive me. Really, I get embarrassed. See, I've got all this equipment in front of me, thousands of dollars worth, and I'm trying to learn it. And I'm not a great technician. I mean, I never was good with machinery. You ought to see me put a lawnmower together. You wouldn't like it. I'm just not my thing. All right, I got it. They gave me the thumbs up, and I'm sorry. All right, we're back to where we were. We're talking today about the Revelator, the Holy Ghost, the Revelator of Truth. The Holy Ghost, the Revelator of Truth. There is nothing as exciting as knowing the things of the Bible from the Spirit. When the mysteries of the Bible begin to take hold of you and they get a hold of your heart, it's breathtaking. It really is breathtaking. And I am thrilled and I am full of joy over it. Let me tell you, see, Jesus is the Revelator of Truth. And Jesus is the truth. I should say the Holy Ghost is the Revelator of Truth, but Jesus is the revelation. Jesus is the center of all truth. Let me read it to you in John 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Notice, Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and not anything that was made was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So the Bible is the revelation. The Bible is the revelation of the revelation himself, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Well, I make a mistake, I get a little confused, so you'll have to forgive me for that. I'll share a little of the music. I brought in some music from camp meeting last night that was just a breathtaking song. So I'm going to take you back in a little bit and share a little of that with you because you missed it. That's those on the internet missed it, and I'm sorry for that. I really am. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Notice that. When the Holy Ghost come, when he came and when he comes in your life, he comes to testify of Jesus. He comes to make the Lord real and mighty and wonderful in your life because the Bible is the revelation of Jesus, the revelator, the revelation. The Holy Ghost, the revelator, brings this great word and fills your life with Jesus. That's why living in the Bible will make Jesus come alive to your heart and life. Well, what a joy. The Holy Spirit, the revelator of truth, and the hunger that I have to somehow get the world to go after being filled with the Spirit, to get more burdened to be filled with the Holy Spirit than anything you can imagine in your life. Now, let me tell you that we appreciate every one of our listeners and our people out there. This is your broadcast. We always depend upon you calling, sending your questions by email. We want you to be involved. We very seldom have a guest other than just all of you. You are our guest. Mother, I cannot read. That paper is not dark enough for me. My wife's trying to bring me notes, and I cannot read. So thank you very much. Use your fingers, darling. It is so important. It is so important that you get into your Bible and learn a life full of the Holy Ghost. Learn a life full of the Holy Ghost. When you learn a life full of the Holy Ghost, it will change everything about you. And I've got a call early today, and I'm delighted for that. You on the air, may I help you, please? You are on the air. May I help you, please? I'm sorry for that. You are now on the air. May I help you, please? Well, you are on the air. I'm trying to get the right line in here. This is not my day, as you can tell. I'm sorry. You are on the line. May I help you, please? I'm sorry for that. The lines are not coming through. Ladies, help me. Give me a call. Give me a call if you would, please. We want you to be on the air with us today. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Our toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Now, internet, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. You're important to us. We really want you to get this truth about the Holy Spirit, the great revelator of truth. You see, we have a church world that has rejected most and much of the ministry of the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of antagonism against Pentecostal thinking people, and I'm sorry for that. Maybe much of it is because of the facade that's on television and on many radio stations of the neo-charismatic world. They do not represent classical Pentecostalism. They do not represent classical New Testament Pentecost. New Testament Pentecost is the beauty of this Bible come alive, and it will change your life. You will literally never be the same. Now, they tell me we're streaming. I'm getting the message on internet, but we want your questions. 1-800, remember, 338-7884, 704-391-0588, jrc@paulcreek.org. I want to read you a great passage of Scripture that Jesus spoke. These are the words of the Son of God, okay? Now listen carefully. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus said, in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, if you want to know why it is desperate that this present church world experience a fresh Pentecost, it is desperate because sin has been so coddled by the church. Sin is almost ignored in most church circles. And then even when people are converted, in most cases, they're taught they're going to be sinning Christians, and they're going to continue in sin. And how often we hear, I'm a saved sinner. Well, that is an untrue statement. That is an unbiblical statement. It cannot be documented in the Bible. There is nothing in the Bible to document such an idea. So, we need the power of the Holy Ghost to convict sin from the church doors to the doors of the world. You know, people talk about what's wrong in Washington. You know what I want to talk about? What's wrong in the church? What's wrong in the church world? We are desperate. We are desperate for the move of God and of Christ. We're desperate for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're desperate to see the power and the anointing of God upon the church afresh. So I call on you today to let's talk about it. I want to answer the strongest question you could ask. I don't care how critical you feel. Let me help you and talk about the reason of your criticism and see if we can get to the heart of the whole matter. It is imperative. It is absolutely important. Now, I'm asking you again, grab your phone. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, and then email questions, jrc@paulcreek.org. We just closed one of the greatest camp meetings in the history of our church. We have done about 23 camp meetings since 1991 or 92, and I'm not really sure of that date. And they have just been outstanding. This year has been exceptional. And I want to give you a CD of the first Bible lesson on Tuesday morning by Minister Reverend Jeff Mayo. And it is a DVD. I'm going to give you the CD, but you can get the DVD. The title is The Power of Pentecostal Praying. The Power of Pentecostal Praying. See, if you've got lost children, if you've got a church that you're part of and you want to see a revival, whatever you're involved in the kingdom, power of praying is the most important thing I could imagine trying to share with you and tell you about. And Pentecostal praying is praying that cannot be defeated. When you pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to get an answer. When you pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to get an answer. You're going to hear from the great Lord God, because He does not fail. He really does not. Wow! Jesus is awesome. Please share about goodness. He pours into believers' lives. Hey, I like that. That's a good question. Share about the beauty, the goodness He pours into a believer's life. I tell you, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Notice that. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Notice He didn't say fruits. He said fruit, because you cannot be filled, truly filled and led by the Holy Spirit, and not be full of this, just those nine things: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. They will fill your life. You will never be the same. Thank you for that good question, because that is the important one. You see, many people think of Pentecostals only as those who speak in tongues. Only those who are a little different in their worship, and maybe in some people's mind, over-enthusiastic, and even sometimes a bit emotional. Now, I don't believe in wild emotions, but I believe in emotion that consumes you with joy and peace and happiness. I was raised in the Baptist church, and I remember going to Baptist revivals where people were shouting and praising God, and I mean, that's a long time ago, and there's, I'm sure, some of those churches today. But I remember that joy. That's the kind of joy that real Spirit-filled Christians should have. But it's reasonable. It's not wild, and it is not embarrassing. It's just something that's great joy. So it is wonderful to be a dedicated Christian. It really is. It really is. Here's the question. Tell us how to be filled with the Spirit. Okay. That's really the most important question I could be asked. How can you be a Holy Ghost-filled person? How can you be a Holy Ghost-filled person? Now, I'm a little bit hoarse today because of a week of camp meeting. We've had 18 sermons in the last 6 days, and I've been in the middle of all of them but one. I had to go for some business. But I'm telling you, I have enjoyed them, and I've said hallelujah so many times that I'm just a little bit hoarse, and you understand that. But listen, how can you be filled with the Spirit? Let me tell you, first thing, you got to be born again. You've got to become a new creature in Christ. There's got to be real repentance of sin. If you don't repent from sin, I said repent from sin. That means repentance that forsakes sin. Repentance that turns away from sin. You're not even a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Spirit until you're truly born again. Truly born again. Now, once you're born again, you're still, in most cases, not yet ready for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A born-again Christian must give up their will. Often a young Christian doesn't understand this. They don't know what it means for my will to be absolutely on the altar to the Lord. There's some degree of it in conversion. There's, in fact, in many cases, there's a marvelous degree of it, but in some cases, it's a lesser amount because of the lack of prior knowledge and prior understanding. And so the Holy Spirit will take that believer who has been born again, and He will lead them in a pathway of grace and beauty and biblical understanding, and they will become set apart. That means sanctified. They will be sanctified. They will be a vessel unto the Lord's glory. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. So as you grow in your salvation experience, as you mature in your faith, as you walk in the light as He is in the light, as one great Bible writer said, you will then come to a place where you're just a ready candidate for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I contend with anybody, a sanctified person cannot keep the baptism of the Holy Spirit from coming upon them and baptizing them. A sanctified person is no longer their own. They belong to God. They belong to Christ. They are sold out. It doesn't matter what the world says. They're going to do what's right. They're going to do what's right. That's a sanctified vessel. And that's the kind of vessel that then you just by faith claim this baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is a gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to earn it. It's by grace. You just have to be ready for it to come in, because he's not going to dwell in an unclean vessel. The Bible is plain. The Holy Spirit does not inhabit an unclean vessel. If you are a person living in fornication, you're a person who drinks and smokes and is all tied up in the habits of the world, you're not a candidate for this baptism. You need to be born again, and then you need to be set apart. Set apart. I really emphasize set apart. The old Methodist. Have you ever studied Methodism? When you study the foundation of Methodism, many Methodists were baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they didn't even understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The light of Pentecostal baptism was to them part of their sanctification experience, and they didn't understand the baptism where there was a speaking in unknown tongues or other tongues in most cases. They didn't understand it, but many of them were wonderfully filled. They would be having great prayer meetings and on their faces before God, and the Spirit of God would fall on different individuals, and they would begin to speak in another language, and nobody understood it. Nobody knew the essence of it, because it was not a theological light that had really come much to Methodism, but they knew what a holy life was, and that's what it took for them to be filled with the Spirit. And so, of course, some of the greatest revivals of past history was from the Methodists, and even some from the Presbyterians. That's all amazing, isn't it? Here's another question. Can a Christian have deep faith and the Spirit without going through some deep suffering which makes them totally dependent on the Lord? I don't think we should ever say that suffering is the path to the baptism. It may be the path to a deeper experience. It may be a path to a greater dependency. It may be a path to a much larger life of Spirit-filled living. But suffering is not the door. Repentance and sanctification is the door. And it's very important we understand that. Don't go looking for suffering so you can get ready for the baptism. Look for the baptism so you can get ready for suffering. Now you understand that? The baptism helps you endure suffering. I mean, I've seen people go through some incredible things, but full of the Holy Ghost, their joy never diminished. Their joy never diminished. They kept on walking in the joy of the Lord. Here's a question. Can you read Proverbs 29:2? When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. Well, he's already read it, or written it for me. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. That's true in the church. You get a godly pastor that is really leading that church in a godly way, and the righteous are ruling, you'll have a church full of joy. You'll have a church where there's a lot of rejoicing. Oh, we had it all week. Great day. What a joy. What a joy. What a joy. So when the righteous rule, there is rejoicing, and there is joy, and there's peace. But when the wicked rule, it really does tear everything asunder in which the wicked is over. I said to my wife this morning, I'm amazed at the kind of people that visit our churches today. It used to be that we mainly had sinners coming who were hungry after God. Actually, today, we have people entering our services on a regular basis who have another spirit. I mean another spirit, and I mean a very contrary spirit. And they come in to rule. They come in to be the master. We just had a situation with a lady who was very educated, and I will go into no further detail because I'm not here to embarrass anybody. But literally, I had to say to her, you're at the wrong church. You're at the wrong place. You need to go somewhere else because you are just a problem. You're nothing but a problem. And she was determined to rule. I mean, visit a few services, and it's I'm here, I'm a prophetess, and I can take over. And we just say, no way, you can't. We don't allow that, and we do not allow it, and we never will. So don't try it if you're listening to me. We are here to have the Spirit of the Bible, the sweet moving of the Holy Ghost, a Christ-honoring spirit. A spirit that draws Christians into the joy of the Holy Ghost, into the joy of a deep life. Now, I call quickly. I do want to hear from you. I want nobody excluded, absolutely nobody. And I'm here to do my best to be a blessing to you. Well, I'm trying to make sure I don't miss anybody, but call on the phone. I really love the calls on the telephone. I like these by the internet, and it's been wonderful, and we're reaching people far beyond the normal spectrum that radio reaches. But I want you to give us a call by your phone. Even if you're listening by internet, you still call on the phone, 1-800-338-7884. Of course, that 800 number only works in America and Canada. So grab your phone. Let's have some special calls from those of you who really have a very important question. And all questions, if they're related to the subject, are important to me. And I will treat it as such. Because I want you to discover the great and deep and wonderful life of living in the sweet presence of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to do something. While you're calling, grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. Let me tell you again, the ladies are standing by. My gift today is a CD of a Bible lesson taught here on Tuesday morning by Reverend Jeff Mayo, and the title is The Power of Pentecostal Praying. Would you like to have a life of prayer that literally penetrates into the realm of the holy until you sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus? Would you like to pray until the Spirit enters you, takes you, guides you as a porter into the very realm of prayer behind the veil, which is Christ? Would you like to have that kind of power in praying? Well, grab your phone and let me send you the CD. I want you to have it. Now, what I'm really going to promote by the next week is the whole set on DVD, because the four on DVD would really, really affect you. But I want you to get the first one on CD so you can understand what it is and what it's about and how good it is. Okay? Grab your phone. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Please forgive my throat. I didn't realize it was this bad until I came on and had to push it for the broadcast, okay, telecast. But it's a little raspy, and I'm sorry for that. That's not the equipment. That's Reverend Chambers, okay? God bless you. You are on the air. May I help you, please? You are on the air. May I help you, please? Hey. Go ahead, sir.
Thing to say, I heard you make a comment earlier. There's no proof in the Bible that there's a sinner saved by grace, or that sin can abound in a saved person. Well, you haven't read Romans chapter 7. Well, Paul says evil is even present with me when I'm doing good.
I'm glad you asked that question. Finish your question, and I'll answer it for you.
Talking, you don't want anybody else to get a word in. I called a couple weeks ago, and you cut me off.
Well, sometimes people need to be cut off. So now listen to me. Now you listen to me. Okay, are you there? Are you willing to listen to truth? You're not, are you? Listen, go with me. This man just wants to be antagonistic, and I don't mind that. I like a little antagonism sometimes because it gets my fire burning. Listen to me. The book of Romans chapter 7 is a marvelous book and a marvelous chapter. But that is not a picture of a saved man. That's a picture of Paul the apostle before he was converted. That was a picture of Paul when he lived under the law. He talked about how beautiful the law was, but then he told how impossible it was for him to keep it. He told about that old sin nature that ruled his life. And then in chapter 8, verse 1, he answered it. So let's go to that and help this dear man. Now listen to me, sir. I hope you haven't cut your radio off because I'm your friend. I'm not here to be an enemy, and I don't cut people off. I just don't let people dominate. See, I have to be the host of this program. I can't let somebody else be the host. And so when I do that, then sometimes I have to say, wait a minute now, let me help you. Let me help you. Listen, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the Spirit do mind. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, sir, your problem is you read Romans 7 and it became an excuse for you to live in sin. But I guess you didn't go on to read Romans 8 that answers the whole problem of Romans 7. Romans 7 is a man who is trying to live right by his own Adamic nature, by his own willpower, by his own strength. And he's under the law. He has an Adamic nature, and he can't live right. And Paul said he couldn't until he got to Christ. Hallelujah. Until he got to the power of that blood and the transforming power of a Spirit-led life. And then he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, notice, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 7 is about the law of sin. The law of sin and death. Romans 8 is about the law of the Spirit and life. So when you read Romans 7, you don't stop there. You go read Romans 8. And you'll have no problem knowing that a Christian does not live in sin. Sir, if you're living in sin, you're a sinner, and you're going to be lost, and you must come to Christ and be born again. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Go to that quickly. And then go back and get Romans 6, which Paul gave us before he gave us a picture of a man under the law. In Romans 6, he talks about the grace of God. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And let me read verse 6. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. How could I answer your question better, sir? You're my friend. I want you to know that. I don't care how mad with me and antagonistic with me you are, you're still my friend. And I'm praying that Jesus will work in your life and set you free from the power of sin, make you a new creature in Christ to live a godly and holy life. I like that. I love those kind of questions, by the way. They really are good, because I want you to understand why I preach against sin and religion. Now, let me go a little further. Let me take you to 1 John. I'm waiting on your calls now. I'm waiting on your calls, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Got me now, 704-391-0588. My gift today, you got to have it, the power of Pentecostal praying. The power of a Holy Ghost-filled Christian on their knees, staying there. Let me tell you about a mother. She had a son that had backslid and turned into homosexual. And he was living a vile life. And he called his mother and said, Mother, I want to come home and be with you a few days. But you got to promise me you will do your best not to say a word to me about my lifestyle. And she said, well, I'll do my best, son. I'll do my best. Well, he came home, and he's fixing to leave, and he said, Mom, I got to go. I want you to know I love you. And she said, Son, I love you. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of her. She said, Son, I got to tell you. I got to tell you about how wrong this life is you're living. And he was angry, ran out the door, and started his journey. And way out in another state, God got a hold of him, and he had to stop where he was at. Absolutely, in the middle of the night, he was riding the bus, and he had to stop in the middle of the night. And he started walking down a long, lonely road, and he saw lights down the road, and he went a little further, and he saw it was a church. And he went a little further, and he found the door in the back of the church where the lights was, and there was someone inside, and he knocked. The preacher came to the door and said, Sir, I was waiting for you. And so he goes in. He says, Sir, I'm so ashamed of myself. And he told his story, and he got saved, and he called his mother. You know where his mother was? She was in her bedroom praying. Had been there for 2 days. She said, Don't bother me. Don't open the door. It's going to be locked. I'm staying in here and praying until my son gets right with God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's Pentecostal praying. That's Pentecostal praying. And you can do it. You can do it. Now, I'm telling you, this life of spirit-filled praying is a mighty life. And I want you to have that CD. I want you to have that CD. Now, there's four of the messages, lessons in that series by Reverend Jeff Mayo, and we're going to put the four in a separate DVD case and make them available to you, and you talk about something to bless you. In fact, you can go ahead and order it. Hadn't been done yet. It'll be done next week, Lord willing. It will change your life. I promise you, it will change your life. Now, call us quickly. Any questions here, I want to answer them. I'm trying not to miss nobody's. Yours is just as important as anybody else's. Do you remember that? I want you to understand, your questions are just as important as anybody else's. So you call me quickly. I will get to your question. You send it on an email. Now, you just heard the man's question. It was an honest question. I think that man was just as serious as you and I are. He was wrong. He was seriously wrong. And if he doesn't find Christ and deliverance from sin, the Bible said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Bible said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's in Matthew 5, by the way. Now call me or email me quickly. I'm waiting to hear from you. I think I've covered all on the internet. Grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. While you're calling, this particular program is extremely important. And so I want to tell you something. Have you ever stopped and picked up your Bible and said to yourself, how did this Bible get to me? How in the world can the God in heaven get a Bible like this to me and me believe that it is pure and that it is absolutely free of error? Absolutely free of error. Well, I'm here to tell you, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. I just reproved the man. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That doesn't sound like sin and religion to me. Does it to you? See, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what's wrong with so much of our world is they desperately need to find them a place of prayer and stay there until they are thoroughly repented, they've been thoroughly surrendered to Christ, and then they're wonderfully filled with the Holy Ghost. There is nothing more powerful than a Holy Ghost-filled Christian. And I'm telling you, that rapture is fixing to take place. The story of the 10 virgins is pretty powerful. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The only thing wrong with those foolish virgins, they were virgins, but they had no oil. The power and anointing of the Holy Ghost was missing. The power and anointing of the Holy Ghost was missing. So I'm telling you, let's just get excited about being filled with the Holy Ghost, would you? Let's get excited about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Maybe there's somebody out there that's been filled recently and you'd like to call and testify. Tell us about what happened when you became filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's somebody that you study your Bible with your heart dependent on the wisdom of the Spirit. Did you know the Bible said that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him? Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Why would a man like John MacArthur preach that God has already forgiven you of your future sins? And recently, he preached that you could be forgiven if you took the mark of the beast during the tribulation period. Actually taught that. And then Jimmy DeYoung joined him in teaching that very same doctrine, that you can be forgiven of taking the mark of the beast should you take that mark in the coming great tribulation. Now, friend, why would a minister of the gospel on the radio and television, known by millions of people, dare say such a thing? Because he doesn't have the revelation of the Spirit in his life. He is using nothing but secular wisdom. He's using some book he's read, some so-called scholar that he's following, some great noted intellectual person that has written some books, and he's using that stuff and he's teaching it. And look at the people that could be damned. Can you imagine a multitude of people that missed the rapture and they remembered John MacArthur? In fact, he'll still be on the radio after the rapture if he don't change. I'm promising you that. You can't teach that kind of doctrine and walk with Jesus at the same time. I hope he repents, and I pray that he will. But I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of people looking for him if they miss that rapture. And then they take the mark, and they think they can get forgiveness. And then when they try to get forgiveness, there's nothing there. Nothing there, no cleansing by the blood. Come on, my friend. These things are absolutely too important to play with them. And I'm not going to play with them. I'm going to bring you the truth. Well, grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. I'd like to have another person who maybe is in that same category as the early one. And maybe you're in, maybe weighing the balance, and you're trying to figure this thing out. Am I really okay living in sin? Am I really okay when I get all under, under temptation and I commit fornication or adultery? And my preacher has told me whatever I do, it's already forgiven and I can't ever be lost and I'm just a saved sinner. I mean, let me help you. I beg of you. See, the whole purpose of the Holy Ghost is to change all of this. The whole purpose of the revelations of the Bible is to teach you different than this. Do you understand that? Very important. Very important. Well, I'm waiting on you. Bless you. I want to hear from you. Grab your phone. Grab your mouse, your mouse, and send an email, whichever. I want to hear from you. You're very, very, very important to us. Now, let me tell you that Paul Creek Christian Academy is really going to be greatly increased next year, it appears. There is the new program, as you know, the scholarship program passed by the General Assembly in Raleigh, and we're part of that. We just received a note from the Raleigh office telling us to make sure all of our paperwork is in order, because there are a lot of people wanting to be part of our school. And a lot of people wanting to put their children here, and that came from Raleigh. And I was amazed at that. The same day, we'd had several, early in the day, I think 5 new calls. And so if you want to be part of a Christian academy, you need to come and look at Paul Creek Christian Academy. Take a look at us. We've had a good enrollment the last years during this great time of economic slowdown. But now that things are picking up a little, we know that it's going to really be a great year next year. And we will be full probably early. Very likely, very early. So don't play games. We want your children in Christian education with us. We'd love to have you in church tomorrow. One of my best friends, Brother Bruce Gans, Reverend Bruce Gans from Bartlesville, Oklahoma. He's a long-legged Oklahomian, and he's a great preacher. And he's sitting here in the office with me. And so I hope you will come and hear him preach tomorrow morning. That's the morning service, Sunday school at 10, morning worship at 10:50. Morning worship at 10:50. Now, I want to tell you something that I've really got available now that's really been moving, and that is a study notebook. I really got involved in trying to create study notebooks to help people who really want to learn. This is like a college course, nothing less than a college course. Nothing less. And the title is The Comforter Has Come. It's a study notebook on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All the different aspects of the Spirit of God. What the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. What he will do if you let him. There's much here. We had a question a while ago. How can you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? This study notebook would be a great, great study for you. I'd love for Baptist people to have it just to know both sides. Maybe you've heard a lot of preaching against the Pentecostal experience. At least look at it from a biblical perspective. At least look at it from a biblical perspective. And this notebook would really help you. That's the only reason we're here. That's why we're on internet. We're going to bring you the Pentecostal blessing. Now, how many out there are hungry? Let me take some phone calls on people who are hungry to be filled with the Spirit. Maybe you're Pentecostal, but you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, and you'd like to just call and talk a moment about what to do and just some good advice, and I'll even pray with you. Would you grab your phone? 1-800-338-7884. 704-391, that's local, 391-0588. I want to hear from you. You can ask your question on the internet. That's fine. Whatever question you have, I'll do my best. I really will. Now, in the weeks to come, we've got a number of programs that's going to be on our heart. I'm going to do a series of programs on simply praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to use the material of Brother Jeff Mayo, who taught here, and I'm going to take them one step at a time. I want to show you especially the program, the study of this past Friday, on you have a right to claim your unsaved children. Did you know if you are a godly saint and you're walking in the light of God's Word and you're doing all you can to please God and serving Him in His perfect will, you have a right to pray and claim your children. And they cannot resist the prayer and the move of the Holy Ghost that's going to evolve out of that prayer, and they're going to be brought to God. Remember, some people call the Holy Spirit the Hound of Heaven. And I say that very carefully because I don't want you to think I would in any way reduce the great person of the Holy Spirit to anything less than that divine member of the eternal Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. But the Hound of Heaven is simply a term to let people know the Holy Spirit will use your prayers. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't do things for you. He does things with you. You become a partner with Him. He becomes a partner with you. You can do nothing without Him. He will not do anything without you. So you and Him together praying on your face, maybe all night. Take a night this week and spend the whole night praying. Fast the day before would be good. So that you fasted all day, and then you come to the end of the day, and you go to your bedroom, tell everybody, now I'm going to stay in my bedroom tonight. Do not bother me. The phone's off as far as I'm concerned. I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to pray for my family. I'm going to pray till I know God has answered. Listen, some preachers are saying you can't pray through. I have a recording of a man right here in Charlotte, a big Pentecostal preacher, who said there's no such thing in the Bible as praying through. That man is so wrong, I fear for his soul. That man is so wrong, I fear for his soul. I will say no more, because I'm not here to criticize anybody. That's not my business. I only share with, when I say something about John MacArthur, I'm not saying anything about him as a person. I'm not putting him down as a person. All I'm doing is telling you that doctrine is wrong. And I'm identifying where it came from. I do not attack people. I attack false doctrines. But if you pray like you can pray, if you will, your children will come to God. They will. I got grandchildren that are lost, but they're not going to stay lost. This past Friday, God got a hold of me anew. I mean, He got a hold of me, and I'm on my face now for my children, my grandchildren, and everyone will come to fullness of surrender and dedication and commitment to Christ. It will happen. Brother Bruce Gans, it will happen. You can say hallelujah. I think they'll hear it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Grab your phone. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Anybody out there? I'm here to help you. I will do my very best. I will do my best. So grab your phone. Grab your phone. Hey, let's go here to the internet. You're not sending as many questions as you usually do, so grab your mouse, okay? And I'm trying to find, wow, how did I do that? Well, it's here somewhere. I've lost my, that is, oh, here she is. He is, I must be a, he is stubborn as he was. John 10:28, Jesus said, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That is wonderful. That was probably sent to me by my friend a while ago. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I agree with every word in that statement. In fact, I agree with every word in the Bible. Nobody can pluck you out of the Father's hand. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can get stubborn and bullheaded, and you can turn. Well, that person is very persistent, and I am so delighted. I love it when someone is persistent. It opens the door for me. So let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Okay. Are you ready? 2 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to read what the Bible says. Okay. How many believe what the Bible says? How many of you believe what this holy book says? Do you really? You believe everything in this Bible? That everything God said, He will fulfill it? He will complete it. It cannot fail. Well, let me tell you something. You go to this Bible, and it tells you exactly what you must understand about this business of serving God. You can't play no games with this. You really can't. Second Peter, well, I tell you, my Bible will not stop at the right place. I guess the enemy don't want me to tell you what I'm fixing to tell you. It says in the Bible, very carefully, and I want to read it to you so that you get it. I got a new Bible. That's my problem. When you get a new Bible, it will be a little bit hard to keep up with. Now, listen to this. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein. Now, God didn't forsake them. God did not pluck them out of his hand. They simply turned back to sin. Now, notice this. Notice this very carefully, for if after they've escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. Here is a place where sin has overcome somebody. The latter end of them, the latter end with them is worse than from the beginning. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them that they had never known righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. For it's happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, God will not pluck you out of his hand. You cannot be taken out of God's hands by some enemy, by some demon, unless you submit. Unless you submit. And the Bible is so plain that you can go all through the Bible and find this great truth over and over again. If you turn from righteousness, my dear friend, listen to this. When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, listen. And I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sins, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. Shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thy hand. So, I warn you, brother, don't tell people they can live in sin and get by. Please don't tell anybody that. And if you are a minister, please, please don't preach that in your pulpit. Please, I beg of you. It is so imperative that you not preach that in your pulpit. It is dangerous beyond measure. You are sounding great on the internet if you are a little raspy. Have you ever smoked marijuana? I feel God speaking to me much clearer when I have smoked a little. Wait a minute. And this man is writing this in an email. I feel God is speaking to me much clearer when I've smoked a little marijuana. Why do you think this great herb has been made illegal? I'm sorry. I look forward to the millennium when it will be liberated. Sir, hey, this is a lady, Michelle. Keep preaching the truth, brother, and may God bless you. I think that was tongue in cheek. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm preaching the truth, and they're telling me they feel better when they take a little marijuana. Oh, no, you don't. You're under bondage to something that will bring you into such destruction that you won't even know who you are. Come on, friend. Hey, that's amazing. Michelle. Come on, Michelle. Let me help you. Call and let me pray with you. God will deliver you from that spirit of drugs and from that bondage of marijuana and whatever else, baby, that you're taking. God will deliver you. I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost to break any power of wickedness, any power of sin, any habit, any dark thing. God will set you free. I'm telling you, God will set you free. Doesn't the verse you just read promise eternal security? The verse I just read. What did I read that promised eternal security? It promised eternal damnation if you turn from your sins, I mean from your righteousness, and go back to sin. I promise you that. It really did. Well, that's all right. Don't mind asking. Just keep on. I don't mind asking, but that was not a good one. I promise you, that was not a good one. Sorry about that, because we must understand there is not one verse in this Bible that promises eternal security in sin, eternal security in obedience, eternal security in surrender, eternal security in devotion. Of course it does. God's word is mighty to save. God's word is mighty to save. Now I have about 7 minutes. I really would like to make sure we end this on a great positive course. You see, the Holy Spirit is a member of the eternal Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He, Jesus, sent back the Holy Ghost because he knew how desperately every person needed this wonderful Spirit. When you are saved, the Spirit comes into your life. You do have the Holy Spirit the moment you're saved. But when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, he has you. And that's the world of difference. That's the world of difference. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We talked about this a week ago. And that's a wonderful truth. It really is. But you can break that seal with known willful sin. Nothing else will break the seal of the Holy Spirit but willful sin. And there's so many verses in this Bible that makes it plain you cannot live in sin and please God. I get so amazed as I study the Bible at all of these great scriptures, these great truths. My little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He says that you sin not, but if you do, if you fall into error, if you fall into sin, and every Christian may do that at some point of their life, but they don't live in sin. They don't practice sin. They don't brag on their sinful state. Wow. I never will understand somebody bragging on their sinful state. I'm a saved sinner. Man, I would never brag on it if I was living in sin. I wouldn't want nobody to know it. I really wouldn't, but let me read on. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Did you know that's in the Bible? I just read it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You cannot live in sin and walk with God. You cannot live in sin and walk with God. Now, I've got time for some more questions. I do want to do something that's very important to me. That singing that we've had to come on the program, you didn't get to hear it, you that listen to the internet. And so I'm going to share a little bit of that with you, and I will be right back, okay? So you just stay right there. I will be back.
God wants to hear you sing his praises in the good times and the bad. He is all-knowing, the creator, the dearest friend you'll ever have. Why do we wonder?
Hey, they're shouting in the background.
Why do we doubt? I know the Lord will bring you out. Weary pilgrim, just lift up your head and shout. Calls in the Spirit, I touch heaven, and sweet heaven touches me. In the Spirit, I find answers when I'm down on my knees. In the Spirit, my heart surrenders to the will of the King. Please help me live, Lord, in the Spirit, till I live forever with thee.
Oh, my friend, let me tell you, I really love it. I love to sing and praise him. And that was from camp meeting last night. And I'll be able, with all of this good material, to bring you a lot of wonderful things. And I'll be doing that along. I'll try not to overdo it with you, because I want you to study this Bible. That's what's most important, study this Bible. Now, it's been a joy to bring you this program. I had some rough places in this program, and I'm sorry for that. But I'm getting used to all of this equipment. It's going to be wonderful when I get it all down pat, because you're going to be amazed at the things that we're going to enjoy together. I promise you that. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Pastor.
Hey.
I love you greatly, and your words are truth. Just a moment. You only have a few moments left. How the Holy Spirit protects against apostasy.
Yes, you want me to answer that, right?
Well, yeah, got so many beloved believers online right now.
Let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit possesses a person, there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of them is the gift of discernment. And when you are full of the Holy Spirit, there is an immediate discernment of something wrong when something is wrong. Now, you shouldn't just judge on the basis of what you feel. You should find out what they're saying. You should listen to the words coming out of their mouth. And then you need to go to your Bible. And you need to judge them by the Bible. Don't judge them by what you feel. You judge your reaction to them, your ability to listen to them by what you feel. But you don't judge them overtly by what you feel. You go to the Bible and you finish the judgment, okay? We have people come in our church who have a bad spirit, who have a religious spirit that has nothing. We had that last night. We had that this past week. We've had it several times lately. People who just have a different spirit. It is not the Spirit of God. It is a spirit of religion. And you feel it immediately. Now, you don't immediately just reject them. You think maybe we can help them. Maybe they'll, listen to what they're feeling here and the true Spirit of God, and maybe they'll repent. But sometimes they don't. You understand?
Oh, amen. But I'm going back to what happened last Thursday with the Presbyterians.
Okay. I don't know what happened, and I don't have time to hear it. So will you call me next week?
Marriage. They endorse gay marriage.
The Presbyterians endorse gay marriage. I won't call me back next week, will you? You know, we are living in a day that's almost unbelievable. Do you understand that, friend? It really is. Now, I'm going to allow some music for those listening by internet. God bless you. It's been a joy to be with you. May the grace of God keep you.
I want to sing another. They don't get to come often. They've had a lot of sickness. But Sister Milam, I love y'all. Christ. And I'm just grateful for your music. I really am.
Thank
so
you,
whatever the Lord lays on your heart. Hallelujah. Would you say praise the Lord for people that live the life? I mean, they live this life. These are godly people. These are people I love. Sister Milam is a pastor. She has an associate now because of sickness. But she's still got a lot of energy.
In the spirit. Praise the Lord.
I didn't start on this journey to turn around and run. I didn't take up my sword to lay it down. So no matter how hot the battle, I'll keep following the sun. And when this warfare is ended, my life's crown will be won. Yes, when this warfare is ended, my life's crown will be won. So, Christian, put on your armor. So let's fight with all our might. Let that enemy know we're in this till the end. We'll not give up, give out.